Amen. Amen. I want to read a passage of Scripture here. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Amen. While you're turning there, I'll just begin reading. You can catch up. Joel chapter 2, I'll begin at verse 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Everybody said the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. The floor shall be full of wheat, the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great arm in which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Amen. Oh, praise God. Why don't we clap our hands to God one more time this morning? Oh, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. You may be seated. This is the day where we recast, refine, refocus, and refresh the vision of the church and your vision and my vision for ourselves. And that is what we feel and understand what God wants to do in us and through us individually. Last week we preached about passion. Passion is the driving force behind vision, and vision gives direction to passion. God-given vision gives direction to the passion we have for God and His will and His ways. And I want to preach for a few moments today to this congregation. And again, I'm so glad for everybody that's here and all of our guests. We love you. And if you're looking for a home church, look no further. This is it. Amen. But I want to preach to us for a few moments today from this thought. It begins here and now, moving into the vision. Amen. It begins here and now, moving into the vision. Proverbs 28:19 tells us that without vision, the people perish. Before anything great ever happens, two things are required, and that is passion and vision. They go hand in hand. We know how God created the heavens and the earth with His Word. But why He created it all was because of His passion and vision for humanity. Even in His foreknowledge of what would happen, sin, wickedness, evil, pain, and that would lead to His coming and His crucifixion. But even in His foreknowledge of all that was to come, His passion and His vision was for relationship with mankind created in His image. Vision, or the ability to see what is not yet, is a human trait that comes from being created in God's image. Amen. Without vision, there would be no great inventions. Without vision, there would be no automobiles. There would be no airplanes. There would be no lunar landing or space travel of any kind. Man would have never got off the ground. Without vision, there would be no United States of America. There would be no Independence Day, nor the declaration that led to it. Vision is a process that should live with us and never die. Oftentimes it takes years or even a lifetime to see the full vision come into fruition. If you really want to live and not just exist in this life, you need vision. Contrary to what the world would have you believe, wealth is not the key to really living. If you suddenly became super wealthy and had anything you desired and traveled the world, it doesn't mean that you're really living. Without vision, it only means that you're existing in luxury. Now, you might be thinking, well, that wouldn't be too bad. But really, living without vision, it doesn't matter what you have or don't have. If you're living without vision, amen. If you're living without vision, without passion, you're just existing. Because you were created to worship and you were created to have a relationship with your Creator. And through that, you were designed to exercise that divinely inherited trait called vision for something bigger than you are. God-given vision supersedes careers. Your career can be part of your God-given vision, but the vision supersedes your career. A career is a means for provision for your family and future, and it's your contribution to society. Work was designed by God in the Garden of Eden, and He gives each person skills and abilities. But God-given vision is bigger than all of that. Don't restrict God. Don't restrict God's vision for your life based on an earthly career or job. Don't restrict vision by thinking, well, I'm not a pastor, or I'm not a minister, I'm not a preacher, I'm just this or I'm that, and that's my life. But that doesn't matter, because vision is eternal. Vision is being kingdom-minded individually and collectively, no matter where you spend 40 to 50 hours a week. God's design for you and me, as evidenced throughout Scripture, is that we have vision both for ourselves and for His kingdom, His church. What He wants for you to become in Him, what He wants to accomplish in you and through you, and what He wants for His church through all of us, to have that vision and pursue it, even though you don't have all the details, is the will of God for His people. Amen. It always has been, and it always will be. Right. Yes. Each year, at the beginning of the year, as I said a moment ago, we recast, we refine, we refocus, and we refresh our vision. This is a very special year. This year, after many years of temporary places of worship, part of the vision is fulfilled and being fulfilled in the miraculous manner in which God has given us this place. Amen. Our previous places have been too small to fit the vision of revival that we believe God has for us, for this community and city. But God has given us this, albeit temporal, place to facilitate His eternal work. This earthly tabernacle and this complex is so representative of who we are as a church. That is, it's not perfect. Amen? It has flaws. It lacks things. But last year, God gave us a vision of restoration, renewal, relationships, and discipleship. And it has begun. Last year, midway through the year, on Sunday, June 3rd, 2018, I preached a message that I felt that God had spoken to me. And it was titled, Relocation, Renovation, and Restoration. And that was before any of this was happening, at least before our eyes. God was already working, of course, but we didn't know it. Now I want to read to you a few lines from that message that day. Relocation is literal, but with great spiritual effects and purpose. Leaving where we are, moving ahead, moving forward, claiming and purchasing and entering a new land, a new place, the promise. Renovation is also literal, rebuilding and repairing the temple as Ezra and the people of Judah did, repairing the walls of Zion as Nehemiah did. Restoration is both literal and spiritual. After relocation and renovation comes restoration. Restoration of the altar, restoration of prayer, restoration of the sacrifices of praise and worship. In the community and city, there will be restoration of the apostolic faith, restoration of the apostolic doctrine, restoration of hope, restoration of godly relationships, restoration of healing, restoration of emotional health, restoration of minds, restoration of peace, restoration of joy, restoration of all things plundered by hell in this city and this community and this county. And I'm not saying I am anything at all. I am not. I understand that I'm unworthy to stand here now. But within 6 weeks, the promise of relocation began. Amen. Because God is good. He's got His hand on you and I in this church. Amen. And God has placed us in the exact location, this exact location, for His purpose. He has fulfilled the promise of relocation. He has begun the promise of renovation, and He is bringing us into the promise of restoration. Oh, clap your hands and give Him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This community, this city, this county needs restoration. Amen. Needs revival. 2017, our theme for the vision was the power of one. One church, one vision, one mission, serving one God. There's power in unity, and unity must prevail. We must remain one in vision, and in mission, and in purpose. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell cannot stop a unified church. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples of Jesus, minus Judas, along with followers, 120 other followers, 120 in all rather, were gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem, waiting for the promise that Jesus had spoken of. The Bible says they were one, they were in one place, and that's one thing, but it says they were all in one accord. It means together, not just in location, but they were one in purpose. They were one in vision. They were one in mission. They were one in their desire for the promise of God to be fulfilled. And when they became one, then the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And then something like tongues of fire set upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance or the ability. And when they took it to the streets, people were amazed, and some were skeptical and mocked. But when Peter preached that first apostolic message on the day of Pentecost in 33 AD in Jerusalem, the people were stirred in their hearts and said, what must we do? And verse 38 of Acts 2, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And it says that they that were listening that day, they received what Peter was preaching, and they were gladly baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were baptized. Heaven came down because of unity. I believe so strongly in the power of unity that today something could begin right here, right now, that we've never seen before. I believe something could start today that would get the attention of heaven in a way that we would see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in this church and in this city like none of us have ever witnessed before. I believe something could start today that would change each and every one of us in a way that we never expected. I believe something could start today that would usher in a year of revival and miracles like we've only dreamed of in the past. I believe that something could start today that would bring unprecedented revelation, unprecedented faith, unprecedented expectation, unprecedented demonstration of God's power and God's presence. Today is the day, here and now is the day to say, I'm buying into the vision. I'm one with the mission. I'm one with the church. Today is the day to say, I want to be a part of what's happening here. I want to be a part of what's about to happen here. I want to be a part of what God is doing and what God is about to do in this church, in this community, and in this city. I believe today that because of unity and because of vision and because of passion and because of prayer that heaven is turning its attention to Orange Park. Heaven is turning its attention to this city and this community. Heaven says it's time. It's time for vision to come to pass. When we are one church, when we are one in our vision, and when we are one in our mission, when we are one in passion and purpose, heaven looks down and says the people are one, and because of their unity, because of their oneness, there is nothing that can be withheld from them. Let us go down and bring heaven to earth. Let us go down and bring the vision to pass. Let us go down and bring unprecedented revival. Let us go down and bring revelation. Let us go down and bring miracle signs and wonders. That's the power of unity. The power of one. One God, one church, one mission, one vision. Amen. Looking back, 2016, our theme that year was No Limits. Today, here and now, I declare no limits. Amen. Amen. You see, God gives a vision. As I've told you many times before, it takes time. It takes time for vision to begin to be fulfilled. It takes years sometimes. But here today, I declare that that was vision then, and it's coming to pass. Amen. No limits. Isaiah 54, the Bible says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Don't hold anything back. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make desolate cities inhabited. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. He said in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Fast forward several hundred years, and Paul the Apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." That's talking about no limits. He's talking about take the limits off your mind. Take the limits off your faith. Take your limits off your ability to believe. Take the limits off your prayer. If we can wrap our hearts and heads around that truth, there are no limits on what God can do in us, for us, and through us. Here and now, it's time to take the limits off of our faith. It's time to take the limits off of our ability to believe for God's plans to come into existence. We often set limits by our prayers and by what we think. But again, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4 that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So if we can take the limits off of our faith, then God will accomplish things above what we ask because they are beyond what we can think. Our minds are limited. Our imaginations are limited. But if our faith can escape the boundaries of our thoughts and the limits of our imaginations and reach into the realm of impossibilities, then God can do what He wants to do. And what He wants to do is marvelous things. We should anticipate God doing things we cannot ask for only because we cannot think it. Here and now, let's take the limits off. No limits on my prayer. No limits on my worship. No limits on my faith. No limits on my commitment. No limits on my giving. Here and now, let's declare no limits on revival. No limits on reaching the lost. No limits, amen, on what God wants to do. This is the year of new beginnings. This is the year of restoration. This is the year revival really begins in this city. If we can wrap our hearts and heads around God's promises, He will open the floodgates of heaven. And He's going to pour out His rain on each of us and all of us. His Spirit is going to rain down on us. His financial blessings will rain down on us when there are no limits. Amen? Amen. His answers to prayer are going to rain down on us when there are no limits. If we believe and not doubt, then I believe we haven't seen yet what God is going to do. We've seen miracles, but there will be unprecedented miracles. We've seen blessings, but there will be greater blessings. We've seen healings, but there will be greater healings. Acts chapter 7 says, "But when the time of promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied." Here and now, we are entering our time of promise. Acts 2, God gave this promise, "I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. He was reiterating what his prophet Joel had already said. He said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. That's the promise I want to see. All flesh. His spirit being poured out on all flesh. Amen. On whosoever will. That's what I want to see. I want to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen before. Oh, hallelujah. Rich or poor, educated or uneducated, no matter your background, no matter your history, no matter your culture, no matter where you come from, we're entering into the time of promise, and God wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And so I say today, here and now, let's move into the vision. Let's move into the promises. What God has for you. Let's move into it. What God has, what you believe, what you feel, what you have seen, what God has shown you. Amen. Surely God has shown you. This is where I want you. This is what I want you to do. This is how close I want you to be to me. Because there is a walk with God that you've not reached yet. I don't want to be redundant here today, and I'm not just trying to repeat something that I've said already or before. But there is a relationship, there is a dimension. Amen. I'm telling you here today, for every person breathing in this house, there is a dimension of relationship with God that He wants for you and with you that you've not known before, that I have not known before. God wants to take you and I individually and all of us collectively to a place in Him that you can't even imagine. That we may have only dreamed of, but even in our dreams, it hasn't scratched the surface. There is a power, there is a place, there is a dimension that God wants for every one of us, young people included, and especially. In Jesus' name, I pray right now for an anointing upon our young people. I pray for an anointing on our young people to be used of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I speak a calling on your life. Every one of you, I speak a calling on your life today. God is about to do great things if we will let Him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's stand in this house. Oh, let's begin to worship. Let's begin to pray. Let's pray with faith. Let's pray with faith and vision and passion right now. Oh, let's let passion rise. Let's let vision rise in our hearts. Let's let passion rise in us today. Revival is coming to this city. And it's going to be through you and I in this church. Oh, let it be, God. Let it be, God. Let it be, God. Let it be. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In Jesus' name, do it, God. 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 Here and now, let's move into vision. Here and now, let's move into the promises of God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but I don't take anything away from the original church that was here in this on this property, in this building, or the previous. But in 1983-84, when this building was built, wherever you were, whatever you were doing, maybe you were in elementary school, maybe you were just living somewhere in another country or whatever the case might be. Wherever we were, I was a sophomore in high school, wherever we were in 1983, God was building this for this moment. Right here, right now. Hallelujah. Because He's got a plan. He blessed the church that built it. He blessed the church that bought it from them. Thank God for all of that. But here and now, it's for us. Because He wants to use you, and He wants to use this church to be a light in this city. To bring revival, to bring a restoration of apostolic faith and doctrine to this city. To bring healing, to bring hope to this city. Amen. To bring salvation to souls in this community. You and I are just normal people. We're just regular people. That's all we are. We're just like the early church in the book of Acts. We're just common folk. Amen? Ain't nobody special here. You're special to God, but other than that, to the world, we ain't nothing special. But God has brought us together. God has put a church together. He's put a group together right here. And on this day, on this first Sunday of 2019, God is saying, come together and trust and believe. Come together and step into promises. Step into the vision that I've had for this church, for this city, for this community. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's all coming down to this moment, here and now. This place, this church, this city, this community. And so, the only thing I want us to be, I've got to be careful when I say this, quote unquote, known for in this city. If there's going to be a knowledge of this church, and it will be, the only thing I want us to be known for is, this is where the presence of the Lord is. This is where the glory of God is. This is where healing is. This is where salvation is. You want to feel God's presence? That's where you go. You need healing? That's where you go. You want to experience the glory of God? You want to experience Pentecost? It's 530 Madeira Drive. That's where you got to go. We're not special, no. We're just common folk. But God use us. God help us. God lead us, direct us, guide us, take us. In Jesus' name, God, take us into the promises. We're nobody. We know that. We're nobody. We know that. But God, take us into Your promises. Use us to help the people of this city. Use us to win souls. Use us to see hundreds filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in His name. Use us to see people healed and their lives put back together and marriages put back together and deliverance in their hearts and minds. If you can use anything, God, You can use me. Amen. And so here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, use me. Here we are, God, use us. I know we're nothing special, God, but use us. Do what You want to do, Lord. Do what You want to do. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. bring us into that place, God. Bring us into the promises. Bring us into the promises. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let's worship Him. Let's worship Him.